Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Okay. Now we can connect. Okay. Let's commence right with Grandma and basically Grandma Lamani. So we kind of just want to know, right? We've been dealing with like what the different definitions of grandma. We saw two different categories of grandma, right? Or categories of definitions. There are definitions that depend on Melech HaMachshavah. They basically say, grandma in some way is not going to be Melech HaMachshavah. You don't really do the Melacha in the proper way, appropriate way. There's no like Maisa involved for there to be a Maisa Melacha, right? So you do the Melacha, there's no like formal Maisa involved. You did it, it's your responsibility, you caused it. But like the formal action is missing, right? So you're responsible, and you're guilty, and you're... It's totally, you know, your fault, but say like you went and you did like havasa lula, just like a good example. If I tell you that the first says you got to pick up a lula, and then you are goring lula to lift it off the ground, right? And then we're gonna say, well, it's all very nice, but you didn't pick it up, right? There's no formal action there. You're right that you're responsible and you caused it, but you did it. But you didn't do it in an action as a formal act, right? And we saw that that's something that we thought was definitely the direction the Tosis was going in, right? And Kiyosu was saying, oh, as long as there's a time delay, so I can't say that this was the formal act of X Malacha, because when you did X formal act, the Malacha only happened later. Right? When can I say that? When can I say that there is the formal act of the Malacha? Only... And that's the normal way to do the malacha, right? In specific malacha, says the Rosh, such as Zoreh, or let's say Zoreya, says the Eglital. The way to do the malacha is by grama. So the way I wanted to formulate it was that the formal action of cooking, or the formal action of sowing, or the formal action of winnowing, are all, is the throwing it up in the air, the putting it in the oven, the throwing the seed on the ground, even though the result, which is the malacha, only happens later on, right? But the formal action is already being done now, right? On the sort of the other extreme, but fundamentally in the same principle, was the shita of the Ramban, who says that it can't be definite. The Ramban says if it's vaday going to happen, it's not grama, right? Which basically turns it again into a sort of davar shein miskaven, right? So this is this. On the other one hand, Tosos, we were saying, is like, oh, Tosos sees it as a din in Davar Shein in Melachas Machsheves, but therefore, any time delay is good enough, right? You're responsible, you did it, right? But you didn't do a formal action, right? On the total opposite extreme, right, even though it's practically going to be the opposite, even though, sorry, just getting at the end of stuff. Right, even though on the sort of the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of the halacha, right, Tosafot says any time delay is good enough, right? The Ramban says, oh, if it's definitely going to happen, that's not grama anymore. But, right, the logic behind that, I think, is the same, right? Melachas machsheves asur Torah, and therefore, grama is another way of getting you into a funny case of Davar Shein Miskaven. Davar Shein Miskaven is not grama, right? Davar Shein Miskaven doesn't need grama. What's the problem here, says the Ramban? Here, you're intending to do it. You want it to happen, right? So it's not a Davar Shein Miskaven. So why has it become a Davar Shein Miskaven? Because it's happening later, and it's not your main goal, right? And it might not happen, so it's not a Psikresha, right? And it's, even though it's Mechaven, but it's only a suffix that it's going to happen, and it's going to happen later, that's like the same thing as a Davar Shein Miskaven, right? So just to right to highlight, like in terms of logic, those two shittos are both about the Meleches Machsheves quality, right? The direction Tosos takes is anything that's a time delay is not like a formal Maisa. The Ramban says, no, everything is going to be Chayiv unless it might not happen. The Shulti Giborim says, it has to be Mamish Davar Shein Miskaven, where you don't intend the result, right? But... you don't intend the result, but basically, since you, you know, but I bet the psik resha, So it's like that. It's like the same as the Ramban, but like sort of flipped. Instead of being it might not happen, it won't happen, right? The Ramban says, oh, but it's not a psikresha, and it's in the future. So the Shaldibur, I'm saying, oh, it's inu mischavin, and even though it's psikresha, it's in the future, right? So you're sort of like, two out of three is good enough, right? If it's not happening right away, if it's in the future, it's grama, and it's inu mischavin, so even if it's psikresha, it's okay. If it's in the future, if it's grama, and it's I'm not sure which one I just did. So if it's in the grama, if it's davar shein miskaven, right, and it's not a psikresha, mutter. If it's davar shein miskaven and it's a psikresha, if it's happening right away, aser. If it's grama, mutter, right? If it's davar shein miskaven, right, and it's not a psikresha, right, but you know it's gonna, but you're, that's exactly what you're trying to do. So says the, you know, says the Shofi, the Ramban, if you, it might not happen, then it's also mutter. Right? It's just playing within the idea of okay? Those are the two sort of extremes that we have within the idea of it's a machshavas issue. The other approach we saw is that no, right? There's, it's not only a question of, you know, you did it, but are you chayiv because machshavas or because it's not your formal maisa, but did you do it, right? And there, where are we going to draw on? We're mostly going to draw on Nezikin, right? One, just one important difference between these two categories is like this. According to that first idea, Shabbos is different. Shabbos is unique, right? You're going to have more, you can have more flexibility when it comes to Shabbos than you have the rest of the time, right? Because it's Malach is Malach Shabbos. So Malach Shabbos issues are much more tied into Shabbos. If it's a question of did you do it, right? How do we define your action? Then what? Then, right? Then Nezikin and Shabbos should be very similar, right? If you didn't do the action, you're going to be pater. If you did do the action, you're responsible, you're chai, right? So then we're not asking whether or not it's Malach Shabbos. We're asking about did you do it? Did it basically happen by itself with your help, right? So, for example, the barrels, you set up a situation, but at the end of the day, it happened by itself, right? Where did the force come from? Where did the energy come from? Where did the initiation come from? The fire spread. It exploded the barrels. The barrels now exploded and splashed water on the fire, right? All the energy is coming, right, totally detached from you, right? So that's all the way to the extreme of the force spectrum, right? You're really totally, you know, not involved in any of the actions involved. You set it up, but you're not involved in the actual actions, right? Then you can start to keep getting closer and closer to the action. Let's say there are no barrels involved. Let's say you just poured water, right? Let's say think of a good example, right? You put a plate full of water right underneath a candle that's shooting out sparks. Let's say you take oil out of a candle. Let's say you open a door when, you know, and there's wind behind it. Let's say you open up a dam, right? How far away does the person need to be from the dam? Okay? All those questions, you can slowly and slowly and slowly start walking it towards being closer to the actual action, and we have to figure out where do we put the line? What we saw is that there are several opinions on that one, right? In terms of what's kocho, so we saw the option that it has to happen, right, directly. Only the water that falls directly on the guy is chayiv, right? The other option is that, no, anything that's in the dam, says the Yad Ramah, is your koach. When, and then the Yad Ramah says there are two options for what could be koach shein, right? Either where there's some sort of bore in the middle, in between, there's some sort of, chasm that needs to be breached, that needs to be overcome before it can get to the victim, right? Now, it will do that, but because there's something in the way, right, it's a two-stage process suddenly, right? It's not just a time delay, right? There are two stages that need to happen, okay? That's number one, making it a two-stage process. The other option the Yad Ramah says is where the water wasn't even present. It's the river further up. That all the water in the dam, no matter where it goes, basically is your obligation, your achrayut, to your chiyuv, because you're the one who let it out. So your koach is me'urav in all that water, right? And you unleashed it, so you harnessed all that energy. What are you not harnessing? You're not harnessing the water that's like somewhere all the way up there, right? It isn't even present. What the downside, says the Adama, is that it's hard to define what counts as present and not present, right? But that's what it says. Okay, so what do we think? Halacha l'maisa, right? How do we paskin on all the on these issues? So the first thing, let's go ahead. Stop. Okay, says the Rambam. You're allowed to do it. I mean, you have to figure out what's grama, but gram kibo is just mutter. L'chatchila. Okay? Says the Mordechai, person or gdial shi the table migdal shachas basa or vechino is the mechitza bekele malay mayim afilu chadashim aruim bakeya vayidei kein techava adloika the gram kiboy mutter idei is a big maram rav yehuda tal shachas ba or nusam of mayim is at echa vim kava kava rav shemon damar gram kiboy mutter pierce would be in a time for avya in halacha krib yosi damar gram kiboy aser afo gav da halacha krib yosi mechaviro hacha halacha krib shemon mishum der bihuda kai kivasei Umihu kiruve kiboy aser, right? Be makariv the kiboy is aser, right? That was the putting the plate full of water right underneath the candle without the separation. Kidim precious besof kirav or of kleinumis baravadia mishum rav yontov hit or biyomtov latet sakin o kli o davar hanital al haner shel shava shelob makom hadleika sheino elegram kiboy. You could take like a knife and like cut the candle in half, basically, or put the put something on the candle so that it wouldn't be able to burn past that point. But that's gram kiboy, and he said you could do that, but on yantif. Okay, interesting that why he's machalik with yantif. Aval Rabbeinu Yoel Pirish the afilu biyom tov lo sharina gram kiboy lechatchila ela b'makom hezeka davka. Right, only in the case of nezek, only if there's going to be nezek involved, only if you're going to lose money or if there's some sort of need, let's say a chole, monetary loss, things like that, those are going to allow you to do grum. Okay, how do we pass in? Says the Shulchan Aruch, teva shachas ba'asa or yachol livros or shel gdil mitzida ha'echad shelo tisarif uzim mechitza b'chol hakelim lehafsek ben hadleika afilu klichas chodashim leimayim shvada yitbaku keshetagia lehem hadleika, right, against the Ramban, by the way, right, just that point. The gram kiboy mutter, right? Passing like the Rambam, it's mutter lachatchila, haga, b'makom seida. Okay, so the Rama says only b'makom seida. Okay, so just for like one very brief filling in of the chart. Lachalacha, how do we paskin? Right, we paskin. Says Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, and Shulchan Aruch. Right? Mutter lechatchila. Says the Rama. And Mordechai, that it is only b'makom hafsek. Okay? Yeah.
Ari and I noted in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, in both cases cited, it gives a reason that seemed to have to do with makom seda, that there's going to be great financial loss if you don't put out the fire.
Not a reason, but rather both cases are cases where there would be a makom seda.
Oh, you're right, but meaning that's just the case of the Gemara. I mean, your diak is a good diak in the Gemara, right? You're right and you're wrong. Why are you wrong?
Because if the Rama specifically says b'makom seida, then it's probably the Shulchan Aruch didn't.
Okay, not yes or no, not necessarily. You're wrong because the Gemara says it. So, like, very legitimately, they're going to quote the case of the Gemara, right? But you're right because of what?
Because we're learning out the principles from cases that are makom seida. So, I mean,
right. Meaning you're bumping up the question, so why did the Gemara pick this example, right? which is exactly what the Mordechai is based on, right? I mean, the Rambam just says it's mutter, right? The Rambam, at the end of the day, when he gives you his example, he just says, right, why? Because Gram Kiboy is mutter, right here. Gram Kiboy is mutter, that's Shulchan Aruch, right? Then the Ramah says, you know, only B'makom Seida, right? The Mechaber also says, right, Gram Kiboy, the Rambam says, Gram Kiboy is mutter, and it's just mutter, right? So, and also, by the way, right, you have all these Shittos in the Mordechai who say that as well. So it's not entirely entirely surprising to see someone saying that it's mutter, right? But again, right, so the Mechaber says it's just mutter because it's grandma. Grandma's mutter. Darshan Miskavin's mutter, right? If Darshan Miskavin's mutter, why not grandma? Right, which is entirely right legitimate, I think. Right, we say Gram Kiboy is mutter because Davrshin Miskavin. If it's similar to Davrshin Miskavin, so it's Davrshin Miskavin, right? Or if it's similar to, it's not Malachas Machshavas, so okay, so it's not Malachas Machshavas, so it should be, maybe it should just be mutter. Or you can go more and say, if it's not even if it's not you, if you didn't do it, if it happened by itself, so maybe that's totally fine, right? Truth is, honestly, I would say like this: if you think that it's like a shinui, then you're in trouble, I think. Because if it's a shinui, you're not allowed to do a malacha b'shinui. So why can you do it with grama? So there's a discussion about, let's say it's a shinui gamur. Let's say it's like an absolute shinui that totally changes the way that you're doing the malacha. Maybe that's even mutter l'chatchila in some cases. But if you think that it's like not even kocho, so your argument is basically, I didn't do anything, right? So I think that's the, in theory, that would be a great chakira. I'd say, if you think that it's not kocho, and it's just, you didn't do anything, so it should be mutter l'chatchila, because you didn't do anything, right? If you think it's a dinin, it's not malachas machshavas, it's like a shinoi, so then it gets a little bit trickier, because generally, you know, other than davar shenu miskavin mamish, we generally take a dim view of davar, of let's say, doing something that will be a malacha, just because it's a shinoi, just because it's not Malachas Machshavas. So, on the other hand, there are cases like Misasek or Mamish Davrshin Miskavin will be Matir. So, that's one downside of trying to make it totally on that. The other thing is, we'll see in a second, that it doesn't seem to fit. And this is the following reason, for the following reason, right? How do we define grama? Right, so this is the Yechavidas, or Bavadi Yosef. So he says, at the end of the day, one second. Oh, yes, he's talking about Yontif. He says, how do you turn off the stove on Yontif? You're allowed to turn a stove on a Yontif, but you're not allowed to turn it off. So he says, I have a great idea how to turn off a gas stove, he says. Right, yes, efsharut lechabot hagaz aide grama. I love that. It's not. It's just like the gaz, right? Gaz aide grama. But often sheikach kumkum aleimayim al kol gidotav. You fill up a pot full of water. V'yanichenu al hakiraim shel hagaz. You put it on the stove. Lehartiach hamayim l'tzorach shtias kafe ote. Right, and you make yourself some hot water so you can make yourself tea or coffee. Right, it's bubbling over. It'll bubble over so much that it'll put out the fire, and then your fire will be off, and it'll only have been grama, right? And he says, wait a second. Then you could close the gas, right? Because the fire's already off. But tam laheterzeh. Okay. So how do we understand, how do we define grama? Right, what's our hagdara of grama? So the hagdara of grama says, Ribavadia, says two things. It says, right, the hagdara of grama is, right, Not immediate. Right? Or time delay, right? If there's a time delay, that's grumma. And that's how we're providing Paskins. And you Paskin this, right? Pretty straightforward. If it's not immediate, slash there's a time delay. I should really just make that time delay because it's just much clearer and less superfluous. Okay? If there's a time delay between the physical, the actions of the human and the result, that's a grumma, says Rabbi Avadia. Okay? So how's Rabbi Avadia paskening? He's paskening like Tosfos, right? Like Zeramas, but paskening like Tosfos. It's all about the time delay, but yet he also thinks that it's perfectly acceptable, the Chatchila, to do, right? To do Gram Kibbutz. Okay? So at the end of the day, right, it's a time delay, and we're done, right? We're good to go. Okay? Now that, on the one hand, that you could also remember, you could say time delay in terms of koach and kochos also, and say it's not your koach, right? You could say if there's this time delay between your action and the result, then it's not your koach that's really responsible for doing it. But again, that's a little bit, that's not quite the, you know, that's not quite the way we wanted to understand it. But again, right, Rabbi Judah's Paskin, time delay is grumma, and you're good to go. Now, what's amazing about that, Zach, is it just makes life so simple, right? How do you define a, you know, you have to get into like, okay, how many seconds is a time delay, or how many minutes? But at the end of the day, it's like very simple to understand, to say what a, what's grumma and what's not. So there's a time delay, it's grumma. If there's no time delay, there's no grumma. End of story, right? Fine. One other thing that Rabbi Avadia says, and this also is a huge, huge simplifier. When he's talking about using a Dut Shemesh, right? So you have like the big water tower on the roof that gets heated up by the sun. When you open it up, when you open up the faucet in your house, then the water pressure in that drops and new water comes in, okay? So he says, what's the problem? The water inside might be very hot and the water outside is not. So you are cooking the water that you're letting in to the Dut Shemesh on the roof using the water that's already there. And that would be Issa D'Rabbanan of Bishul with Toldas Hacham. So what does he say? He says, Hare gam hamayim sheyotzim min hachavit, al yedei ze nasa chalal reik bechavit, sheyechnesu letocho mayim achikrim, hevi gam kein al yedei hasarat monea, b'ptichat haberez shelemata. And if it's only a hasaras monea, it's better than a grama. There's just nimshach me'elehem. Okay? So he says, if you're simply removing a barrier,
you're simply removing an obstacle, the water would flow in, there's water in the way, you're removing the water that's already in there, and then new water manages to get in. Right?
Helping some water out. But all you're doing is removing an obstacle to something that's already present. Now, on the one hand, again, right? Hasaras Monea then is great, right? You can do that with anything. Problem in this, and I don't really understand how he gets mad at it.
While you're moving an obstacle, you're opening up a cap so that water can go out. I'm saying
that's
exactly the same as the dam case.
Your audio just went really weird. It sounds like you're underwater now.
Exactly. Right, someone opened up the dam. I'm underwater now. And can you hear me now?
No. Try now?
No, it's
not. Can you hear me?
What is this? You better now. Yes?
Sort of.
That's so bizarre. Why is this so bad?
Oh. Okay, so we're going to continue. Fine. All right. The problem with this is, isn't this exactly the same as the dam case? You like open up a spigot, you let in the water, and it just. Am I under the water again? Wait. You can hear me. What if I? What if you guys? Maybe it hurt. Maybe when you guys mute, it's bad for my audio.
It might be. It might be related to that. Yeah.
We figured that out once, and that worked. That like everyone being muted was bad for the audio situation for unknown reasons. So I don't know. Anyway, right? It sounds exactly like opening up the dam. So I think the argument that he would be making is only right in a hanami that hasaras monea. The problem, if immediately upon you doing whatever action you do, even if it's just a saras monea, if something happens physically in proximity to what you removed, right? So since, I think what he has to argue is like this. In a duch shemesh, you have the duch shemesh on the roof, right? You have a pipe here to your faucet, right? And then when you let water out... I think Ravadia is going to have to say, this is coffee shown. Okay. But what happens further up the pipeline, what happens up here? Right? The water that gets in here is only going to be, this is already Hasaras Moneh. Why? Because by opening up the water here, so you had physical contact with it, essentially. Because you're touching the spigot, the valve. You're touching the valve, right, which is blocking the flow of the water. By opening that, right, you're releasing the pressure, and you had physical contact with that event. As opposed to up here, you have no physical contact with that event. So the only thing I can get you on is saying, oh, but you caused, you let the water out here, so now you caused the water to come in here. But I didn't even cause the water to come in here. I simply removed an obstacle which was blocking this water from coming in. And I had no physical contact with it. I think he's going to say that the defining feature over here is the physical contact, right, over here. Now, one of the reasons why I can say that is because the Ramban in his Kuntres Din de Garmi by Nezikin makes a very big deal of the idea of physical contact. He basically says that if the damage is physical or an immediate, or if the damage, if there's you have physical contact with it, it's not, it's a Garmi. Normal Nezek is immediate and indirect physical contact, right? You smash someone's pot. If you have physical contact with it and you make it tamei, right? So you didn't, the damage, right, isn't like immediate, but the contact, there's physical contact, right? So he called that garmi. It's this in-between state. I think that's what Ravadia has to say about this. Like here, you have physical contact, so that's kof rishon. Up here is just hasaras moneh, right? So anytime the malacha is happening up here and your action is over here, even though they're basically connected, that's only hasaras moneh. Okay? And obviously a time delay requires a time delay. Here there's no time delay, right? So he can't use time delay here. But he'll say that's fine because here is hasaras moneh. Okay? Who argues on this? The next makar, right? The next makar argues on this and disagrees with this definition of grama, right? Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, can you change a Shabbos clock on Shabbos? Oh, right? You have a Shabbos clock, and in the Shabbos clock, there are all these pins, right, which will trip the switch on or off, okay? Can you, right, can you raise or lower those pins on Shabbos? That's his question. So he says what? He's actually very much misupak. Deshaini hasam, debishas shemamir hakelim, lo nasa adayin klum, kivan shahakol matchil rak lachar zman. Right? Everything only happens later when you put down the barrels. So he says, what's definitely grama? If nothing happens, you do something and literally nothing happens, right? You put down a barrel filled with water. What's happening right now?
Nothing.
Nothing, right? And what's happening to the object you put down?
Nothing.
Nothing, exactly. Let's say you just pour water down. That's a little trickier. Because on the one hand, there's no separate action that needs to happen, because when the fire gets to it, it'll get put out. On the other hand, right, what is happening to what you put down? Nothing, right? Well, the water's not spreading. Let's say it's snow. Get back to the beginning of Shia, right? Let's say you take a big wall of snow and you put it around the fire. What's happening now? Nothing, right? What's happening to the malacha? What's happening to the water, to the snow? Also nothing, right? Now, let's say I did something different. Let's say I poured water on an incline, on a hill, and there's a fire at the bottom of the hill. So what malacha have I done now? I haven't, right? The malacha is only going to happen later. What's happening to what I did? I can't say, oh, what my action is over, because it's not true, right? The water is now rolling downhill, and it's going to hit the fire. I started a domino effect. I started a chain reaction, right? My force is still in play. So on the one hand, you don't need a separate force, right? On the other hand, even though I don't need a separate force, I do need a... it's still, in the case where I just put the snow down, nothing is happening right now. Right? Not only is there no malacha, but there's also no process that's being undergone in terms of my action. Right? The fire might be spreading, but the water's not, or the snow's not. But let's say I move this pin in the Shabbos clock. The Shabbos clock is turning. Right? So says Shlomo Zalman, La'achar shetagia lehem, right? The pin, the second I move it, is already in motion. The Shabbos clock is turning, right? So when I change a pin, it's getting closer and closer and closer right now. It has momentum, right, that is carrying it essentially towards turning it off. Nimsa, shareza dome la shofech mayim bimakom midron, on a slant, rachuk mimakom hasreifa, ava miyad kishofech et amayim harehi metchilim tikef lered lemakom hanamuch, letkarev ala ish lechavota. You are immediately starting a process, right? You are immediately starting a domino effect. You're right, it will only go into effect after time, but can I say that what's happening? Nothing? In terms of my action? No, right? My action is still in play, right? It's rolling downhill. The snowball is gathering steam and it's rolling downhill. Snowball effect. Right? He says, and that is not so clear whether I'm not, he says, I don't know whether I would consider that grama or mechabe biyadayim. Right? Happens to say what? That here, that since there's no malacha d'oraisa, in putting out an electric light, because it's only gachela shel mateches, right? And there's no pacham, so it would only be a malach shen tzuch legufa. It wouldn't even be a malach shen tzuch legufa. It would actually, right, totally be derabanan. So then maybe you could be somech on the idea that it's only starting a, you know, it's only going to happen later, b'diavad. But he thinks that wouldn't be grama. According to Bavadia, that would totally be grama, right? Changing the pin on a Shabbos clock. Right? Right? Changing a pin on a Shabbos clock, according to Shlomo Zalman, he's misupak. According to Bavadia, it's definitely going to be grama, right? Okay? Now, here's another thing, right? Let's say the light is on, the pin... Let's say the light is on, and you want there are pins up that are going to turn off the light. Can you remove those pins?
according to Chazal Maniyah.
Right, why?
Because no one would call you out for extending an ongoing action.
Right. What are you doing? You're not doing anything, right? Right?
Yeah.
So the first thing, not everyone agree, we're going to get back to in a half a second, right? But right, making the thing remain in the state that it's already in is perfectly acceptable, right? Because you're not doing anything. What are you doing? You're doing nothing, right? You're preventing anything from happening. So that's totally fine, right? Who disagrees with Rosh Shlomo Zalman, by the way, and thinks that the Shabbos clock pin is Vaday Aser?
Rav Moshe Feinstein,
correct. And the Rav. Right? Rav Moshe Feinstein is a little bit tricky because Rav Moshe Feinstein happens to be against Shabbos clocks no matter what, even if he did it before Shabbos because he thinks it's like Zilzul Shabbos and Domel Amir Lenachri. So that like he really answers it across the board. Also the Rav. Why? Because the Rav says anytime you have a force, that a system that's present, it's not Grama. Right? Anytime you have a force and a system that exists, then it can't be Grama because Garshaz has two options, right? Two-step process. Or, right, two separate kochos. What's the difference? The two-step process says, I do A, right? There's nothing happening, right? And then B happens. Now, B isn't necessarily from being caused by a separate force, right? When the Arama says, oh, the thing fills up, and then it goes and does it, right? So there's some area where nothing is being done. Right, there's nothing that's like being makarev to the actual malacha. Here is more than that. You need a separate force to come into effect. So let's say like this: do a two-step process. I pour the water, then the fire spreads and puts it out. On the one hand, the force already exists at the time of my action, right? But it's a two-step process because my putting down the snow didn't cause. Didn't cause the fire to go out, right? It's not like the wall of snow rolled into the fire, right? The fire is the one who spread. So the force is really the fire. The fire exists already when I did my action, but, right, it's not that my action is a chain reaction, right? If I pour it down on a hill, right, right, a snowball, if it's a snowball effect, right, then snowball effect is Maisa B'Yadayim, right? Right, where you just roll it down the hill, that's Maisa, right? If it's a two-step process where I put water and the fire comes to me, that's going to be Grama. Pasha should be Grama, right? This is wall of snow. Let's call this wall of snow. Right? Because the force exists, right? But, right, I didn't interact with it directly. If I'm saying two separate kochos, I need there to be a second force that comes and does something that isn't here yet, which is the breaking of the barrels, right? Which we saw was a dea that you need a totally separate force. You need something that wasn't even here, right? This is the wall of snow or the second Yad Ramah. This is like the first Yad Ramah. Right, where either the other clock needs to not be here. This is also what the grid says, the Rav says. So the Shabbos clock trick is going to be totally awesome according to the grid, right? Even without the question of what's moving, who's moving. According to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, let's say you had a Shabbos clock, but the pins weren't moving. You change a pin, right? Just think of it, right? You have a Shabbos clock. Normally on a Shabbos clock, what the pins move, right? Let's say you had a Shabbos clock where the pins, right, are part of the outside. And then over here, right, there's one big, you know, ticking thing that interacts, that gets tripped by the pins. It's kind of funny because it's like such a tiny difference, but it makes a huge, halakhically, it should make a huge difference. Right? Why? Why might this make a big difference? Can you hear?
Yeah.
If it's not me.
Right. Why am I?
I think you're taking out the kohachar me'uraba because it only starts the process when it gets there, and it's not in the process when you interact with it earlier.
Exactly. Right. In this side, says Rosh Hashanah, it seems a lot like pouring water down a hill, right? Because it's moving, and I'm moving a pin, and it's already in motion, and now this pin that I moved is going to continue moving. Right, I moved it, and now it's going to continue moving until it does the malacha. Right, so the events are already in motion. If the pins are not physically moving, you can argue that if I move these pins in or out, they're never going to go and hit something. Right, they're not rolling down the hill. Adarabba, there's a fire that's rolling down the hill that will eventually crash into my little, you know, jugs of water, right? So that very slight change, according to Shlomo Zalman, might make a big difference. Because this side, right, this might be, right, considered, pouring water down a ramp, right? And this side could be considered a case of right kashimi. Why? Because I did an action and a separate force which I never interacted with is doing it. Right? I would call that that's clearly like either a two-stage process or even totally a kashimi, because here's one force, here's the force, I never interacted with it. I made my flicked my switch, end of story, game over. And then the thing came and checked and poked and got tripped. The Rav, right, would say, right, for the Rav, this is Rav Shlomo, this is Rav Sitzvi Shitas Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, right? Rav Avadya, by the way, would say, you know, let's box this off because this is getting a little too complicated here. Right, Rav Avadya would say over here that this, so Grashaz says, this is a safek. Let's make it green. Safek, because it might be like water down the ramp, right? Mubavadia, who is going to be a different color somehow. Says there's a time delay, right? And therefore, grum. Right? Super simple. Time delay, grum. There's a Shlomo says, but your force is still present, right? What about here? That might be okay because you did an action. Your action is done. Nothing's happening to your action, right? No motion, no process is being set in motion. Later, when a separate independent force, right? This is an independent force. Comes and then finds out about your action. This is koach rishon, done. Separate independent force,
crushing,
right? However, the grid, the rav is going to say that this is aser. Why? Because it's still koach acher mu'uravbo. Why is it koach acher mu'uravbo? Right? Because when you did this, what's going on over here? It's turning, right? You're already interacting with a system. The Rav says, anytime you're interacting with a system, right? If the system is present, if the other force, right? If the second force or the system is present, then it's already going to be considered some form of kocho, or koach kocho, or koach acher mu'uravba. Right? Because you're, what are you doing? Says Rav, you're still harnessing another force, right? What are you doing? You're setting up a system such that you capture another force. That's kochachem urovbo. When you open up the dam, right? All that first system is zechayiv. Only the water that only isn't even here yet, that's somewhere else, that's going to be grum, right? Why? Because at the end of the day, any force that's already present, even if you never interacted with it physically, directly, is still kochachem urovbo. If you harness it, even if you never interact with it, you're chayv. So Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, like, you have to, at the very least, right, have some sort of interaction with it. You need to somehow have your action and it, right, joined together. So if you move the pins on the Shabbos clock that's turning, the Shabbos clock is turning and the pins are on it, right? So those two are connected. But here, by the time that this gets there, you already totally finished your action, your koach is gone. But according to the Rav, as long as it's a system, right, and it's built that way, mimela, that's kochachem urovbo. Now, the huge nafkamina is like this. According to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, right, now all that Tzomet do is, right, are totally great, right? And in fact, who was instrumental in designing Matir and designing all the Tzomet do hikis?
Shlomo Zalman,
right. According to the Rav, right, Tzomet doohickeys are all Asa, basically. Right? It's according to the Rav, it's very, very, very difficult to think, come up with a Gramazach. Because anytime you make a Gramazach, your Gramazach, in order to, it can't be designed that way. Right? Now, not because of the Achiezer, right? Remember, according to the Achiezer or the Shilti Giborim, if that's designed that way and that's what you're trying to accomplish and it's going to work, then it's not grama. But that's because of Malachas Machshavas issues. The Rav is saying, from Koach reasons, everything is considered Kocho or Koach Acher Me'urav Bo as long as the system is present, right? As long as you set up a system such that you can harness another force, that's simply harnessing another force in Koach Acher Me'urav Bo. Right? Rosh Hashanah Zalman said that's only true, right, if you actually are capturing or releasing that energy yourself, right? In order for it to be a problem, you actually need to have some sort of interaction with the other force, right? Says the Rav, no, they actually need to be two separate, independent forces. Now, when can you have grama? If there's a fire and you put out these barrels, right, so you never interacted with the fire, right? And the fire is something distinct. You put down the barrels. The barrels, right, are not part of the same system as the fire. The fire comes. It bursts the barrels. And those barrels now splash water on it. The force that splashed the water onto the barrel, onto the fire, is what? Is the breaking of the barrels. And that's not here yet, right? So when I put down the barrels, the malacha, which is the splashing of the water on the fire, the force that did that isn't even here. Because that's the force of the heat of the water. And the water isn't even hot. It's cold water, right? According to the Rav, basically, that's that only time you're really going to have a proper grumma, right? So anytime you make a chip that's a grumma chip, it's not going to work, from what I understand of the Rav. And that's a huge, huge limitation. Okay. One last question. Okay, so we have like one more minute. Do we want to do the fridge now? Just like very al regular achasi? Yeah? Okay, great. So just really to give it just like a very Rashi Prakim, treatment, Shlomo Zalman is like, a fridges. Can you use them? How do you use them? When do you use them? V'chulei. So Rosh Hashanah Zalman basically says like this. Okay, let's start from the very beginning, right? He starts with, is it Moksa, which is very geschmack, right? He thinks they're not. Right? But that's just cool. Like, he just really goes like, prah, like, okay, what are the issues? And like, you know, what do we think about them? He decides it's not Moksa, which is great. He says, look, first of all, let's say it's Aser. Is it going to be Moksa, right? And then he says, okay, what's, is it... let's say you're just doing hamshachat matzav. Let's say the fridge is on. Let's say the compressor is running. Can you open the fridge so that the compressor, and then the compressor is going to stay on because the thermostat is going to drop because you're letting in hot air? So he has this idea that hamshachat matzav is always fine, right? Because what are you doing? You're doing nothing, right? You're preventing anything from happening or changing. So if there's a malacha going on, then you're making it so that the malacha will remain, will continue going. You're not doing anything. There's no maisa. There's no malacha because the malacha is already happening. That's like a very big yesod in Rosh Hashanah. And then he gets to this fascinating question of, is letting in the hot air in a fridge considered a davar shena miskaven, sikresha dilo nichale? Right. Why yes, why no? Yeah, all right.
I mean, it's like micha, because once you open it, you want it to cool more, but you don't want it to get hotter in the first place, I guess.
Exactly, right? You don't want to let the hot air in, but you're not an idiot, so you know that if you open up the fridge, hot air is going to come in, so you want the compressor to go on and cool the fridge down, right? So then he actually says something very gishmak, that it depends exactly on the chakira. It's just cool because it's like bringing back all the different stuff that we dealt with and showing how they're all connected. What is davar shena miskaven dependent on? Is it because, is psik resha a problem because that's a malacha shein tzrich legufa? Okay, if it's a malacha shein tzrich legufa, is the compressor turning on malacha shein tzrich legufa? No, right? The compressor turning on is malacha hatzricha legufa, because you need it to go on. It is necessary, right? You might have preferred to avoid the situation, but it's definitely a malacha hatzricha legufa, right? I mean, that's why you have the fridge plugged in the first place. So if it depends, if psik resha is just a form of malacha hatzricha legufa, then you're in big trouble, right? Because then it's definitely a malacha, if psik resha is a problem of miskaven, right? Like we saw in the Shita of the Rambam, Rabbi Nochananel, Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam, in the Chachmei Sfarad. So then, what does it depend on? Then what it really depends on is when you're doing this action of opening the fridge, are you also intending to start the compressor? So he says, no, right? You're not. That's gufa, what you'd rather not. You totally don't want that, right? The whole reason why you have things in the fridge is so that they remain cold. So you don't want to let the hot air in. You're right that when you let the hot air in, it's convenient that the fridge notices and turns on the compressor. But that's not what you're trying to do. You can't even say that that's like a bonus of your action, because your action is you want to get the food out. You would rather, if you could find a way to open the fridge without letting out the cold in the hot air, you would, right? So he says, pepashtus, then if I define it based on the action, then it's psik resha dinichalei. Because when the compressor turning on is good, right? But if we're deciding based on the kavana of the person, we should decide based on when the person opens the fridge, right? And what's he trying to do? And he obviously doesn't want the hot air to get in. In which case, he's not mechaving for it at all. It's not something that he's miskaving for. Okay, it's a very geschmack that he says, oh, there's actually a very big nafkamina between how you understand davar shena miskaven. If it's in the maisa, so say, well, it's involved in the maisa, right? It's a positive result of the maisa in a certain sense, or the act of the compressor turning on is tzrich legufa. If it's about the kavana of the person, then we'll go based on when the person's actually opening the door, when he doesn't want to let the hot air in. He can't stop it, but he really, really would love to find a genius way and make a patent and like make $1 billion off of a way to like open up fridge doors without letting in hot air, right? So that's just like a shmack, like nafkamina of the two different ways to understand davar shena miskaven, right? On the one hand, you want to open the fridge door, but you don't want to let hot air in, but you know the hot air will get in, so therefore you know that it will be good that the compressor goes on, right? From what moment do we care? Do we care about what you know is happening and what that value is, or what you ideally want? And then he points out like in a very geschmack manner, and he says, like, actually, just so you know, right? Migra din, what's the isser of electricity and what's the isser of running a compressor? And he says, like, you should know there's no real malacha. Right? Shlomo Zalman has this big point in general. He thinks that electricity is usser, basically midrabanan, but there's no actual, there's no, using electricity isn't an act, isn't a malacha daraisa. And the, I mean, unless you're doing a malacha daraisa using electricity, like turning on an electric oven or turning on an electric heater, right? The electricity is being used for a malacha, but you're not doing any malacha by using electricity. You're using electricity to do a malacha, right? But electricity itself is inherently acceptable. Who argues, by the way? Who knows who argues?
Rav Moshe.
It's famous sheet, the famous argument is the sheet of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish thought that using electricity was bone. Should we do that? Should we like, do you want to do like electricity sigya?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Nice. Maybe we'll do that. We'll try to do that very quickly. It's very, very, very big, big, you know, like discussion, but like, it would just be cool to see different, different cheetos quickly. So anyway, so Shlomo Zalman says like, yeah, but there's no, you know, there's no real isser. The only isser in electricity is whatever malacha you're doing, and compressing gas isn't a malacha. So of course we should, so since the isser is only darabanan, so it's a question of, A, maybe a psikresha by darabanan, which is probably a psikresha to nichale, because we seem to paskin the kavana side of things. Right, and then the question is, okay, well, is when you opening up the door, is that considered grama? Right? Is that considered kocha? It sounds like, I have to go through it more carefully, but it sounds like he thinks that it wouldn't be grama. Because when you open the door, right? You could say it's his ikar point is that it's Savashim Skavin, but that it's not grama because when you open the door, right, that's immediate, A, it's immediate. B, so you could say the fridge turns on not immediately. So that's actually, if you think it's about immediacy, like Rabbi Avadia, then it'd be fine because the compressor only goes on a little bit later. But in terms of the koach, right, the chain reaction starts right away, right? So triggering a thermostat is time delay, but it's a chain reaction, right? It goes straight and it cools it down, v'chule, v'chule. So it's definitely a chain reaction, so it shouldn't be grama. So Shlomo Zalman basically thinks not grama. Okay, and maybe we'll do a little bit more of just like that, his whole like just step-by-step of like everything that goes into it. It's very cool that all these different ideas that we've been talking about until now sort of all come together and like, okay, can you open up a fridge on Shabbos? Can you open up a fridge when it's not running? And suddenly like all the lumdos comes out to have like really, really cool and practical nafkaminas. Okay.